As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What's good, Atlanta? This is the Blogging Dirty Podcast, where Dirty Bird is the word if you haven't heard. I'm your host, John Bueller, lead writer for Fansided. Got an exciting show for you guys today. We're going to recap a little bit of what happened on Sunday versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as well as look ahead to what could be coming down the pipeline on Sunday Night Football at the Minnesota Vikings. But before we begin, please be sure to hit that like button like Michael Penix Jr. hitting that goal line on that diving touchdown of his, and smash that like button like Tyler Allgeier should have done instead of giving the ball to Bijan Robinson on some stupid play from Zach Robinson. But yes, still have some thoughts from the Buccaneers game as well as stuff going ahead. Also, you know, share this podcast with anybody else. Tomorrow is my birthday, and I would love nothing more than to have everybody on the planet subscribe to the show. So let's look out for each other, Blog and Dirty Bird Nation, and let's see where we go. So let's get started today with some vibe check. How are we feeling about the Falcons after their close loss to the Buccaneers? I wish I felt better. That's probably the best way for me to describe it right now. There are things that I saw on Sunday that lead me to believe that this team might be better than it was a year ago in some areas. And there's also a few areas of concern. I'm going to be positive. We'll talk about Michael Penix Jr. here in a second. He looked the part. I mean, he didn't play the best game ever, but he showed why he was such a generational quarterback for both the Washington Huskies and the Indiana Hoosiers. This guy's special. And I think as long as he's healthy and he continues to grow, the Atlanta Falcons are going to be a place that will attract top free agents, good coaches, things like that. We got to see him start getting some wins here because he's 1-3 at his first four starts. But I don't think that there's anybody out there in the NFL sphere that says that he was the problem on Sunday. I thought, as expected, Xavier Watts looked the part in the secondary for the Falcons. He was making plays, breaking up passes, played very well alongside Jesse Bates III. Billy Bowman Jr. got part of that sack, the one sack this defense got versus the Buccaneers. But they showed up and they did a lot. Didn't see a whole hell of a lot out of Jalen Walker or James Pierce Jr. But, you know, their times will come. I do know that Arnold Ebiketie was the highest graded defensive player for the Falcons. And that guy starts over Walker and Pierce, so keep that in mind. I also think that Ray McCloud's really taking a step up as a pass catcher. I think the offense needs him to, particularly with Darnell Mooney out. Also, Kyle Pitts had a great game. Again, it continues to show that Penix has a lot of trust and faith in this guy, and I think we're looking at him potentially having his best season since his rookie year. You know, it's amazing what happens when you have a quality quarterback throwing him the football. But as far as where there's concerns, and I'm gonna touch on all this on the show, we're still poorly coached. Raheem Morris wasn't that bad. Zach Robinson was kind of terrible. I do think Jeff Ulbrich, his defense played very well. Special teams, what are we doing? There were a couple of gaffes on that side of the ball that ultimately cost this team the game. And I think the offensive line did a good job holding up. Elijah Wilkinson did a good job, you know, replacing Caleb McGarry. He did give up one big hit, but, like, for the most part, I think he wasn't the problem there. I know a lot of people are going to be mad about the stupid roughing the passer that Rook or Horro did, but he played pretty well regardless. Outside of that, again, that's what we're all only going to remember him for. In this game, I thought the defense did a good job of tackling better, but at the same time, you know, Baker Mayfield was getting basically whatever he wanted in and around, like, with his feet. And again, I feel like I've been watching the same game for a decade now. The Falcons just have guys out there trying to get after the passer. They can't do it. They collapse the pocket. The defensive backs have it all covered, and then the quarterback scampers for like 15 yards on a 35. That's just – it's been like this every time. It's utterly maddening. I cannot stand it. And then obviously Younghoe Koo's got some issues there at kicker. I wish we would have rectified this. Furthermore, you know what? If the staff comes back next year, let's play our players in the preseason a little bit. Yes, I know that, you know, you want to limit injuries and stuff like that. Well, Caleb McGarry didn't play in the preseason. He still got hurt. Football's a game of injury. Just deal with it. But I think there was some rust out there that had there been ironed out just a little bit more, maybe that could have made a difference in some capacity. Maybe we're 1-0. Maybe we're really feeling ourselves as opposed to being 0-1. And now we got to try to win on a Thursday night at Tampa to split the series. Look, to think that we were going to sweep the Bucs in back-to-back years was kind of insane. But the first part of the schedule is really tough. The Vikings are playing with a lot of confidence right now. Maybe a little bit too much, and I'll talk about that at the end of the show here. But I'll just say that, like, I was just disappointed at the end. It felt like I was watching this. I've been watching the same Falcons game for 15 years now. It follows the exact same patterns. It's just there's no normal Falcons games. And I don't know if it's in the player's head, and I don't know if it's the coaching, but, like, it just doesn't go away. We still have that stink on us. I mean, the only other team that I think feels like we do that played well enough to win would have been the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they outgained the Bengals by like 200 yards. Like, the Bengals had like something like 11 yards in the second half and still won. And again, Cleveland's not expected to do much like the Falcons are this year, but they almost got the better team there in Cincinnati, but it still didn't happen. Again, there are a lot of positives to be had here with this team. I do think that the players are – the roster is decent. The roster is good enough to get to the playoffs, but, like, we got to get out of our own way. And for the love of God, we just – the coaches just have to – they have to effing level up. I'm so sorry of this. Stop being sorry. But at least Penix is good. So we're going to move on to that with our second topic here with some big Penix energy. Even in defeat, Penix looks like an emerging star. I'm so excited. I don't care if we lost with this – this Penix changes the game. I've not felt this way since Matt Ryan back in 08, where, like, you see him out there like, oh, this is going to work. This isn't trying to, like, convince ourselves that it's going to work with Desmond Ridder. Like, this is legit. There are things that Penix can do with the football in his hands that not many people in the NFL can do. His quick release, he is getting a little more accurate, but, like, that still has to continually be worked on and improved. But I think more importantly, he's just the ultimate foxhole guy. This is a guy that I trust when the game's on the line to make something happen. You know, I know he's left-handed. I know he was a first-round pick like Michael Vick, but there's some sort of component there too that both of those guys possessed. It may not always work out, but, like, I'm not fearful. I'm not afraid. When Penix has the ball in his hand, there's an opportunity for the Falcons to do something late in the game. They're going to try. And again, like, you look at all four of his games, you know, you beat the Giants and you've been close versus the Panthers, the Commanders, and now the Buccaneers. You got to start winning these games. And I think the players around him, they just got to be better. Frankly, he deserves better. Like, you know, they said in the telecast, he grew up in Tampa, but he wasn't a Bucs fan because he started following football, like, after the Super Bowl back in 02. He doesn't want to associate himself with the sorry team. We got drafted by the Falcons, and we're trying to fix that. We're trying to fix that desperately. But there are things that he does right now at quarterback of his draft class that I think should be very excited about. And I think there's people feeling, honestly, I think the Falcons are feeling better about Michael Penix Jr. than the Bears are feeling about Caleb Williams. And the Vikings and everybody was just saying that, like, J.J. McCarthy was hellacious ass for three quarters. And again, like, he's got more weapons than God there in Minnesota, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But I think that's just a Ryan Poles issue there in Chicago. I told you. I've told everybody that I don't trust Ryan Poles. And honestly, like, Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson, they just got to be better. They got to just be better. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're trying to grow into a role. Figure it out. This isn't that hard. You know, I'm doing a new role here with FanSided for the most part. I cover college football, and I still do the show and everything like that. But, like, I still put in the work and the prep to make sure that I rep our Atlanta Falcons as best as we can. You know, it's hard. You just got to figure it out. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, I'll tie a bow on this with Penix here before I move on to some stuff that's not so great. As I'm watching him play, there's very few times where I've really felt watching the Falcons over the last several years where, like, all eyes are on this team. All eyes are on this guy to make something happen. Maybe there were moments there with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. Like, Michael Vick had this. When Penix is out there, it's like everybody is keying in on this guy. Everybody's looking at him. It's like, I don't know if I can stop him. I'm going to try, but he's going to do something. And honestly, on the other side of the coin there, Baker Mayfield has this a little bit. Penix is far more athletic than him. But that's why Mayfield was number one overall pick, won the Heisman Trophy at Oklahoma, and has reinvented himself as, you know, the franchise quarterback for the Buccaneers for forever going forward. That was not an easy first opponent of the season. Falcons needed to get it. And again, I don't think he could have done much more to play better. I think that the play calling really let him down, particularly on offense. But again, like, this is only his fourth NFL start. The good news is I don't see him regressing. I see him continuing to get better. It just remains to be seen if we have the right coaching staff here. And again, like, I've kind of got my eye on them a little bit more. And if they can't get it done, then we got to get new people in here. This guy's a stud. And again, the Falcons just got to stop being so gosh darn incompetent about these things. But look, I'm much happier about Penix than I thought I'd be. At this point, I was still really high on him. The team's got to be better. And I kind of wonder, like, you know, if Drake London didn't get hurt down the stretch, I don't know if he caught that pass. Maybe there wasn't an angle available to Fox at that time. That's just Falcons' dumb luck here. I do think if Darnell Mooney out there, the game would have been a little different. Because you're asking Kadarryl Hodge to basically be the number one guy on that route. He's more of a special teams guy, and he wasn't ready for that pass. Penix threw a game-winning touchdown pass, and we were down on receivers, and that stinks. So let's move on to our next topic here with some ante. Here's to you, Mr. Robertson. What the hell is that, Zach Robinson? Like, what the hell? I guess he clearly doesn't want to go back to Stillwater to replace his former head coach, Mike Gundy, in Oklahoma State, because just two sad bags of crap from these pokes. On Saturday, Oklahoma State got, like, I don't even know, like, put through a sawmill versus Oregon. Like, Oregon absolutely crushed them. And Oregon doesn't do this. Oregon's done this twice since Dan Lanning has been their head coach. They did it to Deion Sanders in Colorado 2 years ago. But, like, Gundy was talking a lot of smack. And, again, I know he's been in Stillwater with the Pokes for 2 decades. Now he played there. It's got to end there in Stillwater because this isn't going well. Yes, not having Hollis Hinge at quarterback probably mitigated the Pokes a little bit. But, like, Gundy, it's over for him. And I expect that the Oklahoma State's going to look in a different direction. And Zach Robinson, because he played there and started there, again, remember, he was the quarterback throwing the ball to Dez Bryant there in the late 2000s, in the early Mike Gundy years. This is a guy from the Sean McVay coaching tree, came over with Raheem Morris from the LA Rams to be the staff. This is a guy that, like, could be a coach somewhere. I don't know if it's college, I don't know if it's the NFL, but, like, he's got that pedigree. He's got that blue chip thing. It's called a piss poor game. And I think what really bothered me about it was he was just so far in his head with the running game and short yardage situations. It's like he was taking a page out of whatever Mike Bobo does at Georgia. I feel like I don't want to back it up on Saturday and Sundays with just that nonsense. But, like there was a very Steve Sarkisian element to it. And again, Sark was ROC for 2 years here in Atlanta. He'll always be remembered as the guy who replaced Kyle Shanahan, and he'll always be remembered for a fourth and Sark versus the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. It's like when the field shrinks and you're in goal line situations, You got to make it happen. This is where your bread is buttered. This is where the sausage is made. This is where you make your money. You're like first and goal on the one, and then you're doing like some sort of Vince Lombardi power sweep to the left with Bijan Robinson in the backfield. Like, I swear, like, it's like every other play, he's giving the ball to Robinson. I guess the Robinsons love each other. I mean, meet the Robinsons. That might as well be the name of every Falcons game at this point going on. But like, give it to Tyler Allgeier. Just have him run downhill and just line meet him to death. Just have him run next to Neusel and Lindstrom and Matthews, and just go in that direction and just bulldoze them. Like, you want to take this division? You want to beat the Buccaneers? Go effing beat them. Go run up the middle. You're at home. Just use momentum to your advantage. If Penix wants to do a dive, like, just, you know, a straight line is the shortest distance between two points, unless you're like on a globe, then whatever. In the world that we live in, like, straight line, just go. And I know it's very rudimentary. I know it's very simple, but like, you got to do this. You know, the further you go laterally, it's not going to make a damn bit of difference. And I know there's like wide receiver screens and everything like that. You got to execute better. And he got bailed out a lot of times by Penix making big throws on third down. You know, that the diving play, you know, to extend it like on fourth and long, and then to hit pay dirt diving in. I'm just kind of like, you gotta, like, Penix has only played four games as a starting quarterback in the NFL. This is like, what, game 18 for Zach Robinson? You've been doing this for a while. Like in year two of Shanahan here in Atlanta, he became the 49ers head coach by year three. Like, he's been with San Francisco for 7 years now. And again, I understand that he's been an offensive coordinator multiple times before, whether that was in Cleveland, whether that was in Houston, whether that was in Washington. We got to be better here. We have to be better here. And he knows this because that was not okay. I mean, you're at home. You could dictate crowd noise. There's not a lot of Buccaneers fans out there, just like there's not a whole gaggling of Falcons fans. You had the crowd advantage here. You try doing that on the road versus Minnesota? No, it's going to be just purple. I mean, maybe the Vikings are more snake bit than us, and maybe we beat them at our game next time. But like, just unacceptable. Like, this is the maddest I've been about with Zach Robinson since he's been here. And I've had my flack with Raheem Morris before. I thought he did a terrible job last year with with challenges. He did a much better job with that this year. And I appreciate him, you know, trying his luck to bail out Drake London there. But we can't be coming up dead at coaching. We can't be 25th in all three departments. Like, special teams, what was that? Terrible defense on a Bradley Pinion punt, and then Younghoe Koo, which we'll get to in a second. Like, good Lord. The players are here. The coaches need to earn their keep here, because they're on my ass list right now. Zach Robinson, don't do this again. Be better than this, man. I believe in you. You have to be better. All right. And then let's do some cuckoo-ca-choo. Younghoe Koo can no longer be trusted, and this is a huge problem. I hate this. This is a guy that was a vibes curator. This is a guy who it didn't work out for him with the Chargers, played with the Atlanta Legends with Aaron Murray and the AAF, played at Georgia Southern from New Jersey, the biggest Korean star in the NFL. He hasn't been the same player since that big kick versus the Saints in week four last year. Let me take a sip of coffee real quick before I kind of dive into this.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I may be going a little bit ethereal here, a little bit deeper, but hear me out. This is not the first time we've run into an issue like this with a popular player here in Atlanta. It might be the first time with a kicker we've had in a while. I mean, Matt Bryant was older. Matt Bryant had like a bad hamstring, and then that's kind of paved way for Younghoe to eventually take over. But there have been guys who earlier in their Falcons careers deliver time and time again. They could be a first-round pick. They could be an unheralded guy. It doesn't matter. But then there will be signs along the way where it's starting to turn. He's no longer the same player. Because he's come through for us before, we believe he's going to come through us again. But the signs that we've seen of late, it's not the same. You're at home. It's a 44-yard field goal with the game on the line. You've been a pro bowler. You've been an all pro. This isn't a 50-yarder. We weren't asking you to hit a 56-yard field goal. And again, maybe Zach Robinson needs to do a better job of, you know, having the play go to the hash that Koo prefers so he wouldn't be slicing it. And again, like, Koo missing that field goal certainly bailed out McLaughlin there for the Buccaneers. And he missed that PAT. Just not a good day for special teams across the board. And I don't know necessarily if we need to pivot to Lenny Craig, but like, this is in the back of our mind too. For years, the Falcons have had reliable kicking games. You know, I can remember growing up with the Hall of Famer, Morton Anderson. Not the longest leg, but that left foot of his, like, you could trust him to make anything, you know, inside of 45 yards. That's why he's one of the greatest kickers of all time. A legend for the Falcons and Saints. Just a phenomenal player. Jay Feely there with the Falcons, they're kind of in the early Mike Vick eras, a guy that I could trust, former Michigan man, had a good leg, had about a good 5-6 years run here with the Falcons. Maybe he was only four, if I'm not mistaken, but he certainly looked the part. We all remember Money Matt Bryant there during the Super Bowl era and everything like that. He made one of the greatest kicks in Falcons history to beat the Seahawks to get the Falcons the NFC Championship in 2012. And then Koo here. And again, like, this isn't like the pass rush where it's like we're just looking and forever chasing the ghost of John Abraham. And again, I'll talk about the pass rush here in a second. But this is an area where, you know, it's just putting even more of a loathsome burden on Penix to get it done. He's like, great. I get the ball inside the 25 and I can't trust our kicker to make the effing field goal. Like, and then at that point, it's going to force Penix to try to do too much. Special teams got to be better. The coaching staff was just piss poor versus the Buccaneers. They got to level up. I don't know if they have it in them. Maybe the next staff that Penix plays for will be better. Maybe we won't get our sixth choice. But at least Bill Belichick kind of sucks there with the Patriots or with the North Carolina. So we got that going for us. I just wish I'm pulling for Koo, but like it's been over a year where like he's not the same player. And again, you're inside, you're in a dome, you're at home. Everything's coming up for you. It's on the wrong hash for you. Who gives an S? Just make the kick. And again, like, I know people like, you know, say, oh, football shouldn't have special teams in it. It absolutely should, because this is why the game was lost for us. We lost because of special teams. Maybe some poor play calling there from Robinson as well. I think there was some stuff out there for the Buccaneers like that made the Falcons have a game of it. Todd Bowles wasn't his best self there. There were moments there where Josh Grizzard looked like a first time offensive coordinator, but you know, this is Baker Mayfield bailing him out a little bit. Also, the fact that Mike Evans is going to the Hall of Fame and Emeka Egbuka is legit. Remember how everybody was saying, like, I can't believe the Buccaneers drafted Egbuka. Like, the guy's a stud. And the fact they didn't have Chris Godwin out there, it could be challenging later on. Again, I'm still mad that we didn't take advantage of the opportunity here in Atlanta on Sunday. But I know the Falcons supposedly brought in people to, you know, to test kick for everything like that. It feels like a dog and pony show here. I will say, though, if Q has another game like this where he can't be trusted, I don't think his time in Atlanta is going to be long. Apparently, he didn't meet with the media immediately after the game. He had to wait until Sunday to kind of cool off a little bit. And I get it. You know, your career is hanging in the balances here. Kicking is such a mental part of the game. But only so many people can do this. And we're trusting you to do a good job. And you haven't been doing that. And this might be the last time we do this segment, unless he gets cut. Or maybe he'll totally redeem himself for this versus the Vikings and hits a Morton Anderson field goal to stifle and make J.J. McCarthy cry. Want that more so than anything. Oh, God. Let's do some positive stuff here, sort of. Again, let's move on to our penultimate topic here with some grits blitz. The defense was able to generate pressure, but not many sacks. I think they only got one of Mayfield. I will say, for the most part, I was very pleased with Jeff Ulbrich's defense at all three levels. I think that the tackling was better. I think that the secondary was flying around making plays. And I know people are going to be like, oh, Mike Hughes should have been able to swat that ball on that touchdown pass to Egbuka. That was a perfectly thrown ball. Hughes is a former first-round pick. He defended that as well as he could. I can't really complain too much on that. It stinks that that was the decisive play in the game. Jesse Bates still looks great. I was really, really impressed with Xavier Watts. Billy Bowman came in on the sack. Kaden Ellis is starting to really show some leadership stuff there too. And I guess, like, from the pass rush stuff, Orhorho was able to generate some pressures. Saw Pierce was able to kind of get on a play there too. Walker didn't really stand out on the TV as well. But like, there were signs here where, like, the Falcons were playing a lesser team than Tampa. And again, I have a lot of respect for the Buccaneers. This is the team that's been the playoffs last 5 years. They won the division last 4 years. And you gave them everything you got. Wish you could have given them a little bit more, but you know, if this was against Carolina, if this was against the Saints, maybe a few of those plays would be sacks. But again, like, every time Mayfield would, like, get pressured, he'd escape and get a first down. Like, it was frustrating. But I would say that when he would stay back there and pass, I did kind of feel that the pressure that the Falcons were providing threw his timing rhythm off a little bit. I think there were plays out there, and he didn't complete a very high percentage of passes. And I think that's really – that was something that was very impressive to me. Was I didn't feel that, like, there have been times watching the Falcons where, like, oh, you know, it's going to be a pillow fight. We're just a bunch of guys out there doing this with our hands. I'm like, no, like, I felt like the guys were sending pressure, and it was preventing Mayfield from completing passes that in pretty much every other season would have been complete. Obviously, he played better down the stretch when the game kind of sped up a little bit and didn't have to think too much. But there was also a play where, like, it kind of got in his head. There was an easy gimme touchdown he had along the sideline to tight end Cade Otton, but he overthrew it. Otton wasn't ready for it. And, like, that was probably one of the few defensive lapses I really noticed with the Falcons in this one. Again, the Buccaneers are going to score points. They have the offensive weaponry to do that. And but there was signs to be had with the pass rush, with the defense, just collectively. I thought that unit held up its end of the bargain a lot more than expected. Again, special teams let us down big time, and the offense kind of sputtered due in large part to play calling and maybe some injuries. But I think as much as I was down on the Ulbrich hire, just because I felt that it was bland, because it was like, oh, he's my friend, he's my guy. It's not nepotism, but, like, it's a good old boys network, if you will. It does seem as though that this unit will grow. And I think what's also really key is some of the rookies were out there making things happen. Like I said, Bowman getting the pressure, Watts playing one hell of a game. And I think Watt's like, again, like that was my favorite pick the Falcons made. I love getting me Jalen Walker at 15. Don't know if he's fully healthy yet. And Pierce will get his at some point too, but like, and also Eddie Caddy played pretty well. I think that like this is a big opportunity for him. He may not have gotten the sacks that he needed to line up the stat sheet, but again, like he graded pretty well for PFF. Like not a lot for the Falcons defense, but yeah, he played pretty solidly. And I've been impressed with what he's done thus far this season. I think he had a good training camp too. So really, really, really in on Ebiketie this year. May not come back to the team because he may get priced out or whatever. But I think for the most part that was certainly okay. And I guess I guess to tie a bow on it from like the pressure is just being able to do it and being relentless with it. It's going to allow the secondary to make plays in the ball. I know Watts and Bates have tremendous ball skills. I thought AJ Terrell played very well. Again, he was all over the receivers, just really, breaking plays up and everything like that. Again, like I don't know if the defensive line's any good here for Atlanta, but linebackers, maybe edge rushers are decent. We just got to continue to grow as a unit and really buy into Ulbrich's coaching to play as a collective, rotate the right guys in there. And I think we'll be okay. And again, I will say this, the defense kept this team in the game. It could have gotten a lot worse because the offense sputtered and special teams was a disaster. But I think it's important to know that like the Falcons can conceivably win in multiple ways. They didn't win this game, but they played well enough to win. And I'm not going to say moral victories here because I was mad. I'm like, come on, we had this and we blew it. Most Falcons loss of all time. Just finding new and creative ways to lose. But the defense stepping up here a little bit, I could put a feather in my cap with that, and I get behind that as well. So, yeah, I think that that's the defense here is in a better spot than it was a year ago, and I'm thrilled with that. I could be eating crow if we give up 45 points to the Vikings on Sunday, but I don't think that that's going to happen. And with that, let's move on to our final topic here today with some I saw the line. Let's make a pick against the spread heading into Sunday football versus the Minnesota Vikings. So here's how I'm going to say this. I didn't watch the Bears-Vikings on Monday Night Football. I was kind of going to sleep because I got to get up early to work. I was following along with that. Everything that I saw on social media in the first half, the first three quarters of the game was just saying like how much J.J. McCarthy sucks. And as the biggest J.J. McCarthy hater known to mankind, God, I love that. I felt so vindicated. I felt so right. And then I also realized, oh, wait a minute. They're playing the Bears. And they're snake bit to hell too. And the big thing with the Bears is I don't trust Caleb Williams either. And more importantly, I don't trust Ryan Poles. I don't trust Kevin Warren. I don't trust the McCaskies. I don't give a damn that Ben Johnson's the head coach. You got to overcome that nonsense. And Caleb Williams, I can kind of go either way here or there. But, I was talking about the quarterbacks, the six quarterbacks in this draft class. We all know that Jaden Daniels is the best right now. He's the most proven, then probably Bo Nix. And then you've got your other four guys with Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., Caleb Williams, and J.J. McCarthy all jockeying for a third position. I think right now there's a world where Penix could be three pretty quickly. Just because I think that he's going to be asked to do more than what McCarthy's going to do in Minnesota. Caleb Williams might be asked to do more too. I don't necessarily know if he's as reliable or dependable as Penix. And then with May, and again, this was always the biggest concern I had with Drake May coming in. It's like, is he just going to let some bozo derail his career? Like when he went to the Bears, he's just going to get destroyed. Like, I'm not saying he's going to Andrew Luck himself, but there's some sort of thing where like, I don't necessarily know if he's going to be a jerk to people in the building. Like, you know what? I deserve better. I don't need this moron coaching me. I need better people around me. And I think like, I'm a very big fan of Mike Vrabel. I thought that was the best hire of the offseason. He is still a meathead, but meatheads can win this league, just like a Dan Campbell, but just not last week with the Lions. I think with what makes Campbell and Vrabel such good head coaches is they empower their coordinators And again, I think Vrabel's a little bit better defensively than I think Campbell is offensively. But I think that, like, the Josh McDaniels of it all, that's a little more complex and maybe may need a little more time. And the good news is I think the AFC East outside of Buffalo sucks. Like, they almost all lost this past week. Jets played pretty good, but they still lost to the Steelers. Dolphins, it's a disaster. And then I think everybody, you know, I don't know. It's interesting with the Vikings of it all. So I'm gonna take a sip of coffee. I'm gonna give it to you straight. I'm gonna make a pick, but both against the spread, final score, whatever it is. I could be totally wrong. It wasn't that far off of the Falcons. I had to go the other way, but like the Falcons did cover last week, so I had them. But they covered the 3.5. They only lost by 3. Could have won by. Should have won. That's okay. I think the under hit in that game too. So maybe I'm not the best feel with that. I think that US Bank Stadium on Saturday night is going to be insanely loud. I think that it could present a problem for the Falcons offense, particularly if Zach Robinson is, I don't know, not prepared again. I do think the Vikings have a lot of pieces on defense. I do think Kevin O'Connell's a fantastic head coach. Again, I do think that one for JJ McCarthy was rather fluky. There's, I think he's just a better version of Zach Wilson. I don't know what that prototype is in the NFL. I don't know if that exists. I don't know if that's staying power. But at least with Penix, I'm like, there is a, there's like a Joe Burrow, there's a Tony Romo, there's a Deshaun Watson prototype there. Cam Ward's kind of got this too. Like, there's a little bit of wiggle, but again, they're going to come from the pocket and they're going to deliver darts. Right now, if I'm looking at the lines on ESPN.com, so right now, again, 11:35 Eastern, Wednesday, September 10th, the day before my birthday. Again, please subscribe and hit that like button. You know, give me some birthday love. I really need it. Not really. I got a fun thing planned today, tomorrow with my fiance, so it's going to be cool. So right now, I believe ESPN Bet has the point spread with the Vikings laying 4.5 at home. The over-under is 44.5, and the money line is the Vikings minus 200 and the Falcons plus 170. The matchup predictor has the Vikings projected to win 62.7% of the time, whereas the Falcons at 37%. It's really close. So here's how I kind of envision it going. I do think that the Falcons defense is going to take away McCarthy to some degree. I think that he's not going to play particularly well. He may have a lot of confidence here, but the Falcons will get him to turn the ball over a couple of times. Unfortunately, I think for the Falcons, Penix might turn the ball over too. He might be asked to do too much. And I think really the only way that this is going to work out is if we get like our other skill position players and offense to really step up. And I'm talking about like all the big ones. You know, we need Robinson. We need Algier. We need London if he can play. We need Pitts. We need Mooney. We need Hodge. We need McLeod. We need damn near everybody outside of Charlie Warner. If you do something, that'd be cool too, bro. But don't worry about that. Again, I think the kicking issue is going to be prevalent. I think Q's going to miss a couple of kicks. And that could tip the game in the Vikings' favor here. So I'm going to take the under here, under 44.5. And I'm going to take 44.5. Let's see. I'm going to take the exact same score that the Falcons game lost last week. I'm going to take the Vikings to win 23-20. And just emo hedge it. So the Falcons still do cover in this. I don't have them winning. So I'll either be right by picking the Vikings to win, or I'll be happy if the Falcons win. So that's kind of how I'm feeling with that. And again, like, I did not respect the Vikings. I still don't. I'm not going to respect anybody from Michigan. Are you kidding me? No, not even for 1 second. And bunch of cheaters. Anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons won. I mean, last week or last year, they went on and got that tough win over the Eagles in week 2. But probably the biggest thing that I would say – when it comes to this game here is the Falcons just got to find ways to win this game, these games. They're going to put them close. And I think people recognize, oh, there's talent here. There's talent across the board. And again, it's coaching matters. But I think they just need to still play hard. And I also say this. I think we're a better team than the Bears. And even though I said even though I had the Vikings going 4-13 to start of the year, that might have been wrong. You know, I was doing win total projections there with Simon and friends back in August, and I had the Vikings like way up there, take the under. And I'm like, you know what? I got a Vikings fan on here. I'm not going to do this. So I let him pick his team. But I'm looking at this and I'm feeling pretty good that Penix is still Marvel. And honestly, I think he's going to outplay McCarthy. And you know what? That's going to make me feel pretty good. Hoping for a win. Not sure it's going to happen, but let's do it. Let's just play better. And I think more importantly, the other thing here that leads me to believe that it could happen is football is a game of like momentum in some capacities. I think the best outcome you can have is to win close and play ugly, which is what Tampa has, which is why I don't even know who the Bucs play this week. Bucs schedule. Okay. They're going to be, they're at the Houston Texans on Monday night. Yeah, they're going to win. I don't trust Houston at all. Not, don't think Houston's going to be good this year. So I think that's the work for the Bucs. But the other one is, you know, you lose in a tough spot because, look, everybody handles failure the same way. You know, if you lose, you're like, okay, we're going to get back to the grindstone. We're going to put in extra work. We can't get embarrassed again. They're going to operate with a greater crashing sense of urgency. The problem is, you know, well, you look at the Vikings. They won, but they didn't play well. But I don't know if it felt fluky. It kind of felt more that the Bears collapsed in on themselves. So maybe they're full of them. Maybe they're full of it. Maybe they're thinking like, oh, J.J. McCarthy is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Clearly, the guy can do no wrong in Minnesota. Everyone's like, are you sure? Eventually, I'm going to be right about him. And it may not be for the Falcons. It would be very fitting if he looked very good versus the Falcons and fell apart later on in the season. That's just how it works with this team. That's how it works with me. But what I've seen out of Penix leads me to believe that he's going to be the starting quarterback here for a long time. Got to stay healthy. Got to get the right people around him. Got to have the right people in his ear. We got to do right by this guy because this guy's legit. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Falcons to cover the 4.5 spread, but they're going to lose 23-20 to the Vikings. It's going to be the under. And again, I hope I'm wrong on that. And I hope the Falcons win 41-7. That'd be unbelievable. That'd be a great way to finish the week here. Going to be a ball of nerves throughout the entire game. Probably not going to sleep the night before work. But, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. So, yeah, really, really excited about that. All right. This was episode 58 of the Blog Nerdy Podcast. You can follow me, John Bueller, on Twitter or the X at Bueller118. You can follow the show on YouTube at Blog and Dirty FS. You can follow along on Twitter, the X at Blog and Dirty. Be sure to watch, like, comment, subscribe on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, anywhere there's podcasts. Give us a 5-star review, Apple, Spotify, wherever. It really helps the show out. Again, still doing this once a week, usually on Wednesday mornings. Really appreciate all the love we've had thus far with this program and everything like that. Obviously didn't get the win that we wanted to in week one, but there's still room to be had with this Falcons team. This team's too talented to keep losing dumb games like that. Eventually they're going to break through. Maybe it's going to be here. Maybe it's going to be this weekend. I don't know. Yeah. Before you get out of here, please hit that. You know, please like that stuff. Please read all my work. Again, I'm writing more on the college football side of things, so you can read all my stuff, you know, just on X or on Facebook. I've got my Facebook profile attached there. No longer on fansider.com. Just kind of a reorganization here. But yeah, I still follow along with the Falcons, still cover them, still write about them a little bit, you know, within the context of everything else like that. But yeah, that's kind of what's going on today. I don't know. Tomorrow's my birthday. My dad's coming to have lunch with me here in a few minutes. Can't really think. I got to finish up writing an article about Wisconsin football because that's how it all goes. But once again, thanks for listening. And this is the Blog and Dirty Podcast.